So, this morning, Dennis is going to talk about Auchincairn and his years here. Since what year did you come, Dennis?
In Manchester, I had taken early retirement in 1980, and my wife had to retire due to having diabetes type 1. And I then thought that after being in Manchester for over 20 years, it was time to move on. So we put our house on the market and started to consider where to move to. First we looked at Shropshire, where we had had a short holiday, and then at Richmond in Yorkshire, where we had both had had holidays previously. But we rejected both of these places as being a little bit too genteel. Then we had a two-week holiday at Balcony Mews. And after many walks along Shore Road and many nights in the Smugglers, we were a bit smitten. But just to be sure, we looked at a house at Mute Hill on the road to the lifeboat house. The view was fantastic and the price was right, but what deterred us was the potholed lane to the house and two other factors. One, the only water was from a spring, and secondly, also to get to the third bedroom, one had to go through the bathroom. We looked at another house in Gatehouse, which once had been a brewery. The bedrooms were enormous and we liked the house very much. Unfortunately, it had no garden and would be useless for two newly retired people. We then looked around Auchincairn and 57 Main Street. This house had been empty for 3 or 4 years and half the garden was covered in foliage. Betty Agnew across the road held the keys and said her friend's son, Graham Aitken, had been asked to cut all the foliage down as it was growing wild. But what we liked was one could see the sea from the front door and bedroom window. Also coupled with the Smugglers and restaurant being nearby. Also, when we were holidaying here, everybody we met were so friendly and ready to wave at us. We had a lot of furniture in Manchester, as my wife's Eileen's mother had died. So when the furniture vehicles arrived, it took all day to empty the van. Miss Hilda Lee, the previous owner, had also left a lot of furniture. I like counting things, and I noted that there were 56 chairs in the house. So we got Halls and Castle Douglas to take quite a few. There were a set of reclining chairs, and Chrissy Ashton asked if she could have them. And so that is where some went. When we first arrived, Betty Agnew was very helpful and introduced us to David and Nancy Aitken. Betty, Nancy and Eileen and I were quickly in and out of each other's houses for a blether and to keep up with the news. David took us to his farm at Auchnabony outside Dundrennan and told us how he used to run the farm. His father had been an undertaker and he was very interested in this side of life, or death as I should say. We once made a meal for them in the conservatory for all 9 of us. Their daughter Lorna, son David and Graham, and their wives, and Eileen and I. When David died, Nancy bought us a magnolia tree to plant in the back garden, and this year it blossomed better than it has ever done. Eileen and I often visited the Smugglers and Sharon Graham used to challenge me to a game of darts, but by sheer good luck, she always beat me. Sharon, Arlene and I also went to the old free school where Trevor has his workshop and played carpet bowls. The head teacher, when the school was active, used to live in the room above. When we went, the head teacher's desk was still there, but it has gone now.
Do you remember when the carpet bowling stopped, Dennis?
I can't remember the date.
When it finished.
No, I can't.
I'll ask Trevor, he'll know.
Yeah, right, and... But we also knew Miss Euphemia Trotter in Spout Row and Mrs. Gibson. In fact, when Georgie's Milligan dog, he also lives in Spout Row, we had one of the puppies, which we called Dante. Probably a bit of a mistake, as he used to snap and bite and was a bit of a danger to children, and eventually had to be put down. Number 57 took us nearly 2 years to redecorate, and only then did we really start to explore this wonderful area of Scotland. We both climbed the Merrick, the highest hill in southern Scotland, and as we went up to Ben Yallery, before nipping across to the Merrick, we were a bit shocked to see two lads on mountain bike coming down the hill past us. As we became more entrenched in Ottencairn, society, so invitation for meals began to increase. First was Margaret and John Taylor, a very pleasant meal, and then Jim and Ellis Hendry, and it was then we noticed different customs. When Arlene and I have entertained, we have always placed the wine bottles on the table with the food, so that people can help themselves if they wish to. But we found our host always kept the drinks on one side, and had to leave the table to offer more drink. I don't know if this is Scottish people being canny, or if it is a leftover from the temperance days. In those days, the Women's Guild used to organise coach trips, usually organised by Mr. Osborne.
Oh yes, Norman. Norman Osborne.
By Norman Osborne and his wife Hazel. We were always intrigued when Helen Sankey told her she was brought up in the Osborne's house, Mill House, and there were 11 children. We had met a few of them, and they were all slept in the attic. I also met the Tweedy, who also lived in the Pepper Pot. I think they also lived in the cottage on Heston, just like the Sankeys. And Beryl Scott also, who has written a book about it, and now lives at Islecroft in Dalbeattie. Around about 1998, Margaret McCrae asked me if I would like to form a new society. That's Dumfries and Galloway Council were offering free laptops to new societies. I always hated history at school, but I could see local history being something quite different. So this is how the Ottencairn History Society began. We never did get the laptop, but the Community Council gave us £100 to get going in place of it. Arlene and the... Arlene... Oh, this is an insert. This is an insert to Norman Osborne organising trips out in coaches. Insert. Anne and I always went on these trips, which was exciting, for all our friend would suddenly be with us, walking around the castle grounds at Castle Kennedy. Mrs. McCleary often came with us, and at this time I used to produce the Auchincairn News. And Jim McCleary gave me a lovely article for it on how he used to make cheese on the farm he worked on. At one time, I had every copy of the Auchincairn News from long before I started it, and gave the whole lot to the Kirkcudbright Museum.
Who did it before you, Dennis?
Lots of various people did it before me. Yeah. I think John Burford did. I don't have them now, so I can't check up.
No, I just couldn't remember who had done it before you, because you, for a while you did the Auchincairn News and the History Society magazine.
Yeah, I did both at
once. Did both.
But it was too much.
Yeah, well, I think they were quite often crossed over, yes.
Yes, I had to stop doing the Auchincairn News. Also, the Community Council, I think a lot of the members on the council took turns to produce it. I remember when I did it, I managed to put a local artist on the cover of every one I did. Auchincairn was full of artists at that time. There was John Halliday, who recently died. There was Hilary Nielsen.
Hilary Neal, yeah.
Yeah, Hilary Neal. And my wife, Eileen, did one cover.
I think Davy Gordon did one.
Davy Gordon did one, yes. Davy Gordon.
Dennis Neal, maybe? Did Dennis do any?
No, Dennis
no, didn't. Just Hilary.
No. Sarah. Oh, it was Eddie, who died in a motorcycle crash. His girlfriend.
Oh yes,
from Sarah. She was Godshill.
I can't remember her second name. Yeah, Megan Godshill.
And she did the cover, and her picture was in the Dumfries Memorial. Where the cinema is in Dumfries.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she did that cover. But at that time I started not only the Auchincairn History Society newsletter, also some of the monographs that we started publishing. We published 10 altogether. They're all available in all the local libraries.
Yes, very good they were as well. Yeah, excellent.
And that's all I've got now.
That's very good, Dennis, yeah. Excellent.
I rushed it a bit, I'm sorry.
It's fine. No, it's fine. I think it was very clear.
Are you?